Hey everybody, Wasilla Steve here from Alaska. You know, I listen to five or six podcasts regularly, and one of them is the handgun world. And why? Because I, too, am a cancer survivor. And because Bob survived cancer, and I survived cancer, Bob got the pleasure of teaching me in two of his classes. And boy, did he ever enjoy that. So here now, a true survivor, a great American, and hands down, one of the best instructors I know, Bob Main.
This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network. Hi, I'm Bob Main. Welcome to episode number 386 of the Handgun World podcast, brought to you by Concealment Solutions, makers of some very fine outside-the-waistband and inside-the-waistband holsters that I use. The Black Mamba inside-the-waistband and the Cobra outside-the-waistband that can be found at ConcealmentSolutions.com, and the coupon code HANDGUNWORLD gets you 10% off of your next order. ConcealmentSolutions.com. This is September 15th, 2017, the 386th episode of the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show done by a practical guy, and that is me. This week, I got a good interview for you. There's another podcast on the Self Defense Radio Network called the Gun Blog Variety Cast, and Sean Sorrentino is one of the hosts there, and he actually offered to talk about carrying a gun on a bicycle. And I'm not a big bike rider, although I probably should be. I need to get back into shape, folks. I'm getting out of shape. You know, staying in shape is a very important self-defense skill and self-defense preparation. You know, so many people that are in the shooting industry, or not necessarily industry, but people that carry a gun and it's their hobby, and they take it very seriously, and they take their self-protection very seriously. I got to be real honest because, you know, folks, you the listener, you expect me to be honest, okay? Right? You expect me to tell it like it is? Isn't that one of the reasons why you listen to this show? Because you want someone to kind of tell it like it is? Well, I'll tell it like it is. So many people that are shooters and carry a gun for self-defense are really out of shape. And you know, I'm out of shape. I'm about 25 pounds heavier than I should be. And I'm working on doing something about that. I'm going to try to get a little bit more serious here. But you have to think about something. What if you need to escape and you need to escape fast and you need to run and you need to run fast? What if you need to carry somebody like a family member, like a child, to safety if you're in a bad situation? Can you do it? Do you have the physical capability to do it? Well, maybe that's why I need to do like Sean Sorrentino. I need to get back on riding a bike quite a bit. So he does. He rides a bike a lot and he talks about how he carries a gun while he's riding a bike. So that interview with Sean is coming up shortly. Don't forget about the good friends and the good supporters at the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. They are an official sponsor and advertiser of the Self Defense Radio Network, and I want you to listen to this.
Hi, I'm Paul Lathrop. I'd like to talk with you about the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. As many of you know, you'll likely have to win two fights if you have to use your gun in self-defense. The first fight is the gunfight itself. The second fight is the fight to clear your good name through the legal system. You don't need to draw your gun to find yourself in a legal battle for your life and freedom. Even if you do everything right, you may still be prosecuted, which could cost you tens of thousands of dollars. The Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is an official sponsor of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and they will completely take that worry away by giving you financial assistance and legal assistance if you have to use your gun in a legitimate self-defense situation. In my case, it was $12,500 just to get out of jail and get the attorney started on my case. Don't let an overzealous anti-gun prosecutor make your life miserable because you chose to legally defend yourself. Sign up at armedcitizensnetwork.org for only $135 for the first year and discounted renewals. Please use the tracking code 15625 or Paul Lathrop when contacting them. Doing so will financially help the Self-Defense Radio Network without having to spend any extra money. Or you can call 360-978-5200 and just tell them Paul sent you.
Okay, here's the interview with Sean Sorrentino of the gun blog Variety Cast.
Well, joining me for this segment of the show, I've got a special guest here as an interview, Sean Sorrentino from the gun blog Variety Cast. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. And first of all, go ahead and tell people a little bit about your podcast so that they, in case they're not a listener, where can they find you? Who are you?
Well, the Gun Blog Variety Cast is at gunblogvarietycast.com or at all of the major podcast outlets, so iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We're even on iHeartRadio and Google Play Music. If you haven't checked that out, if you are on an Android, Google Play Music is now putting out podcasts, so give us a look. We do, well, just like it says, it's a variety cast. It's a whole bunch of different people who are gun bloggers. There's four contributors. There's the host, me, and the co-host, Aaron Paulette. And we do a bunch of different segments. There's a little bit for everybody. Weird likes to say it's everything, including the kitchen sink.
You're putting that kitchen sink in there as a bonus, aren't you?
Yeah. Weird Beard is the podcast bicycle. You'll see him on a whole bunch of podcasts, but Weird does this thing that I think is, I wish more people would do this. This is a great segment. He bats cleanup for us. He's not quite the last segment, but he's our last contributor in every episode. He does this week in anti-gun nuttery. He'll find some audio clip where somebody's talking just the dumbest stuff. You've heard video. You've seen video where people are, oh, this and that and all kinds of other dumb anti-gun stuff, and he'll play it, and then he'll respond to it, and he'll go back and forth with it. It's fantastic, so you should check it out.
Sean, you mean anti-gunners say dumb stuff?
Oh, my goodness. It's sometimes painful to listen to, and I feel bad for Weird because he has to listen to it 3, 4, 5 times every show, so I feel for his brain cells.
You know, I've been doing this show for over 7 years now, and I've almost since day one, I've been putting out the invitation for an anti-gunner to interview with me. And, you know, I'd be real polite. I would be nice. I wouldn't get belligerent on them. I would love to just have a factual one-on-one interview back and forth and kind of see where it goes. Nobody's taking me up on it. What do you think?
Well, there is that Loaded Conversations thing that is putting out. Oh, I think she's on episode number 5?
Is she? Did she get 5 out or not? I don't know.
Well, yeah. That one just came out. I think it's 5. And that one's going to be audio-fisked in the episode that's coming out. It just came out. Well, when this episode drops for you, it'll have come out last week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? Obviously not a lot of folks listening. But anyway, I want people to know that you are part of the Self-Defense Radio Network. So, folks, go ahead and listen to Sean's Gun Blog Variety Cast if you're not already a listener. So we're going to talk about carrying a gun on a bicycle, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
You're a big cyclist, right?
Well, with the emphasis on the big more than the cyclist. I do a bit of riding. I don't want anybody to get the idea that I am a professional cyclist. I like to ride. I've always, since I was a little kid, I loved riding a bicycle. And now I ride my bicycle to try to keep my weight under panoramic.
I love that. Keep it under panoramic. So when I take a picture of you with my iPhone, I can use just the regular camera settings, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Well, I think this is a great topic because even if someone's listening and they're not a bicycle rider, we're going to talk about concealed carry, and we're going to talk about different ways that people carry and maybe some advantages of different types of concealed carry. So go ahead and get started off, Sean. I think one of the notes that we're looking at here is that just about everything in carrying a gun is a trade-off, right?
It is. Think about it. If you want to carry a firearm, you're going to carry in a number of different ways. You want to carry maybe inside the waistband for that extra bit of concealment, or you want to carry outside the waistband because it's more comfortable. Or maybe you want to carry appendix because it's faster. So you have these different trade-offs, these different choices that you make. Now, a lot of people don't even consider cross-draw or consider a shoulder holster because you can't do that in a training class. So they're just not favored anymore. You just don't do them. They're valid carries. You just don't do them anymore. And off-body carry is almost never done. We really, really, really tell you, don't do this, don't do this. It's a bad idea. I mean, how many
Why?
Get shot by their kids because they have a gun in a purse, right?
And they forget about it, you mean, right?
That too. So
yeah, but there's a bigger disadvantage in off-body carrying. Well, not bigger, but there's just as much of a disadvantage in off-body carrying, I think, because you can't access your gun very easily.
Exactly. But then, see, here's the problem. We are people who, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're not the guy who just yesterday decided, you know, I want to carry a gun. Maybe I ought to learn a little bit about it. Most of us are the people on the far right-hand side of the bell curve. You know, we're the guys that dress to the gun. We're the guys that wear the, like me, cargo shorts and untucked polo shirts. And, you know, we dress around the gun. Unfortunately, when I get on my bike, cargo pants, cargo shorts, and a polo shirt, they don't work.
That's not going to cut it.
No. So, you know, I understand it kind of looks a little silly to a lot of people, but I wear the spandex. And I don't ride an upright bike. I ride what's called a recumbent bike. So I have what effectively is a lawn chair on wheels. So I don't even have like the back of my body where I can put stuff on. You know how like the cyclist, they'll have the pockets on the back. Some people might think that that'd be a good place to put a gun. It absolutely is not. So don't get the idea you can put something back there. It doesn't work. I've talked to a couple of people about carrying a gun on a bike. The one I've talked to most extensively is Luke from Triangle Tactical.
Mm-hmm.
Luke carries a single stack 9mm and a Camelback. And there's some of them have little pockets in them, and he puts his single stack there. There are some places where he can't carry when you're going through school campuses, so sometimes he doesn't carry. The problem is that he says if he comes off the bike, he might not be able to get to the gun quickly. It's not really super accessible, but it'll still be attached to him if he comes off the bike. The other problem is that the one time he did come off his bike and he injured himself, he's afraid he might have landed on his gun and hurt himself worse.
That's what I thought about. I thought about if you're carrying off body and you take a fall off your cycle, you could hurt yourself.
Well, no, he was carrying on body. It was on his body. It was attached.
I meant to say on body. Excuse me.
Yeah. I also had a very, very brief chat with Bill Frady, but I did watch his videos. It is a very, very good video on how he carries, because he suddenly decided it was time for him to do a little bike riding, and he has a fantastic video on what he's decided to do. He found a bike lock bag that I guess it was like Bike Messengers they're using for their bike locks, and he's modified that to carry. Now, if you're riding an upright bike and you're not riding long distances and you're willing to wear something around your waist, great idea. I think that's a great plan. Watch his video. Give that a shot. That might work for you. Now, that won't work for me because I'm riding an hour on weekdays, 3 days a week, and I'm riding 2 hours on Saturday. And I'm riding a recumbent bike, which means I'm sitting in a chair. That won't work. I also had a brief Facebook chat with Michael Bain. Now, Michael Bain rides a mountain bike, so he has kind of a flat bar instead of the drop bars like road bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes a Wilderness Tactical Safe Packer and he attaches that to his handlebar. Works great. Problem you run into with that is the Wilderness Tactical Safe Packer doesn't blend a whole lot. If you've ever watched, what was that movie? My Cousin Vinny? Oh yeah, you blend.
So it kind of gives away the fact that you've got something, probably something tactical in there, right?
Well, the one that I have is black. I mean, like tactical black. And they have some that are kind of blue, but they don't look bikey, right?
Yeah.
But if you're on a mountain bike, eh, it doesn't look funny.
Okay.
On a road bike, meh. So what I do is actually the recumbent bike that I have has this funny looking red triangular bag that goes on the handlebar. And I had always put my wallet up there. Well, I also have a bag that goes on the seat that I put my camel back in, and I put some tools in, and I can put my wallet back there, and I can put my cell phone back there. Well, it just so happens that my gun fits there. So I put my gun up there. Works just fine.
Well, that's
good.
It's
a little bit, you know, emotionally difficult for me to actually put the gun off of my body onto the bike. You know, because now it's not on my body. I don't have physical control over it. If I come off the bike, it's not going to be on my body. But then you have to think about it. Am I really going to hit the ground at 15 miles an hour, do a couple of tactical ninja rolls, and come up shooting?
Hey, you know what? I'll be teaching that in my next class.
Yeah. Have you ever hit the ground at 15 miles an hour off a bike?
No, but I've hit the ground about that speed on a off of a horse.
Got up right away, didn't you?
No.
No. I talked to my wife about it. My wife's been hit by a car 4 times before she gave up riding a bicycle on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, she actually was able to walk away twice out of the 4 times. I asked her today in preparation for the show. I said, okay, explain to me how many times you got up. Well, one time what happened is the Jeep cut her off and jumped the curb. So she grabbed the Jeep's, like, fabric top, and it hopped the curb, and as it did that, she hopped the curb with the Jeep. So she got sideswiped by the vehicle. She didn't really get hit by the vehicle. Another time, she was going through an intersection. The vehicle ran the light. She saw it. She dumped the bike and tucked and rolled away from the vehicle. So she didn't actually get hit by the vehicle. The bike got run over. The other two times, she hit the ground, and she didn't get up for about, I don't know, she doesn't know either. The 4th time she left in an ambulance, and she doesn't remember soccer kicking the doctor in the emergency room.
Okay.
So, if you come off the bike because a vehicle hits you, because think about it, what are your threats? If you're out on the road on a bike, that's what you need to think about. If you're going to be carrying a gun, you have to think about, why are you carrying the gun? Right? You don't carry a gun because you're carrying like a lucky rabbit's foot, right?
No.
Right? We have to think about, what is it we intend to do with this tool? It's a tool. It's not a talisman. We try to tell this to people all the time, but then sometimes we forget about it ourselves. So what are we planning on doing with it? So we need to evaluate the threats. So what are the threats to people on bicycles? 1, getting hit by a car. 2, road rage, not hit by a car, but hit by a person who gets out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
3, animal attack. Or 4, ambush on, say, like a greenway.
Ambush by who?
Like a greenway. Well, people. People all.
Okay.
Greenway, I'll get to a greenway. The greenway is a specific type of incident that I think is something we need to pay very close attention to.
Okay. Now, Sean, let me just interrupt and ask you one thing real quick. When you're carrying on a bicycle, well, first of all, what gun do you normally carry on a bike?
Well, I only have one carry gun right now. I have 2, but I haven't taken the second gun. The gun that I've been carrying for probably close to 8 years now is a Springfield XD Compact in 45.
Okay.
Only carry gun I own. So it's approximately a Glock 19 size. Just about 3-4 days ago purchased a SIG P320 compact. So equivalently sized 9mm.
Yeah, okay, good gun. All right. I was just curious because, you know, I'm picturing you hiding and concealing and carrying a gun on a bike. So while I'm picturing it, I want to know what it is that you're trying to carry. Okay. So the threats, let's back up. So the threats are either getting hit by a car, a road rage incident, animal attack, or an ambush on a greenway.
Right. So if you get hit by a car, let's take them in order. Hit by a car. if you get knocked off your bike by a car, it's pretty much nothing you're going to do about it.
That's correct. Yeah.
If you know, if somebody hits you with his car, especially if he does it intentionally, you're going to be injured pretty much beyond your ability to respond with a firearm immediately.
I would think so, yes.
Right? And honestly, if you got to ask yourself, if somebody's attempting to hit you with his car, if that is the threat you're concerned with, then you need to be investing in security, not in carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're in the wrong, I don't know, protection level. You need to be talking armed security, maybe a armored vehicle, because you got problems.
Yeah, you do. You got some serious problems that your firearm probably won't get you out of.
Right. You don't need to access your firearm and start shooting back at somebody who's aiming his car at you.
I mean, if you can even access your firearm.
Right. Even if it was on your body, I'm not sure that's going to help. Right.
Probably not.
Yeah. Foot pounds of energy. You work that out. It's not going to work. So
no, I don't think bullets can stop cars. Can they? I don't think so.
No. So I don't think that's really a threat that your firearm is going to mitigate. There are some things that you can do to make it less likely that they can hit you. Keep your head up. If you see things coming towards you, get out of its way as best you can. But the gun isn't going to do you any good, I don't think. So moving on, road rage. So let's say something's gone wrong, and the person has decided to jump out of his vehicle and discuss things with you using his fists or a tire iron or something. And let's assume that you followed Ben Branham's advice and always acted like a quiet professional. You're not going around giving people the silver salute and telling the guy that he's number one in your book. Well, you're on a bicycle.
Yes,
ride away. What's he going to do, chase you down?
Probably not. As a matter of fact, if he's on foot and you're on a bike, he's probably not going to chase you down.
Right. He has to get back in his car and then try to chase you down in the car. So at that point, try to get to a place where there are other people so that it becomes socially, at least, difficult for him to get to you.
Well, yeah, and for you on the bike, that's going to be a lot easier, you know, than him in his car.
Hopefully. Be smart about it. Now, you can put yourself in a position where you're up to, you know, number one, getting hit by the car. So, I mean, don't be dumb. Don't go in a place where he can run you over. But if you can get into a parking lot where, like, maybe there's a local Food Lion or something, hey, ride your bike directly into the grocery store.
Yeah, or right up to the grocery store, even to the front door of the grocery store.
I would ride straight into the front door of the grocery store, right into the counters.
Yeah, why not?
He's trying to run me over with his car. Ooh, yeah. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to call the cops? That's what you want.
Yep.
Now, if you can't get away because you're blocked, or your wife's riding with you, or you've got kids riding with you, or he's between you and escape, you just can't get away, now you access your firearm, you explain to him by pointing that firearm. Because, you know, look, I'm riding, I'm wearing cleats. These cleats on bicycles, you know, I can walk in them. I sure can't run. They don't have traction on them. If I get into a fight, I'm going to lose, right? I can explain that I am in a position of disadvantage because those cleats are just, you know, I'm screwed.
Well, plus, especially if you got, like, your wife and your kids with you, you're also at a disadvantage.
But if I'm trapped and I'm standing there in, you know, a pair of cleats, what am I going to do? I can try to kick them off, and now I'm in bare feet. Or sock feet. That doesn't help.
No, that's a problem.
No. So then I can access the firearm and I can invite him to go away. And then I'm going to call the police and give him a description of the vehicle that he left in. And if he doesn't withdraw, I'm going to use whatever force is necessary to preserve my life.
Okay, now let me interject something right here. So at this point you're carrying on body, right?
I'm carrying in the bag. So
you're carrying in the bag, okay.
Stand up. If I see him coming out towards me and I can't escape, stand up, access, and present. I'm standing over the bike.
Okay. So what would be the disadvantage if you're carrying on body, or is there a disadvantage?
Just that it is very difficult to find a way to carry that isn't extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sweating and the rash that you would get from – if you were able to find a way that you could attach it to yourself, you would just break out in a terrible rash.
Well, let me propose this. Since we are talking about carrying on a bike – now, I'm not a bike rider. I should be, but I'm not. But 99% of the time when I carry a firearm, I wear an undershirt. And then I'll usually have a T-shirt or a Hawaiian shirt or even a dress shirt over it. And even here in South Texas when it's 105 degrees, I'm still wearing an undershirt. Couldn't I ride a bike comfortably and carry maybe like in a belly band or even just a regular outside the waistband holster if I got an undershirt on?
I'd have to show you what I wear.
Spandex
doesn't work that way.
What's that?
Spandex doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that mental image of me in spandex.
Yeah, bad image, man. I tell you what, why'd you have to go there?
Yeah, I do actually the same. I wear an undershirt. I wear an untucked polo shirt over my white T-shirt. I do the same thing, but Carolina, where it gets not maybe quite as hot as it does in Texas, but it does get pretty hot.
But you're not wearing that when you're riding the bike. You're wearing your spandex.
Not. No, there's a specific kind of shirt that's made for the bike that I wear. The pockets are on the front instead of on the back.
Yeah. So you really have nowhere to conceal it when you're wearing the spandex. I see.
No. Okay. And the other thing is if it's loose enough for me to conceal, then I end up with a floppy baggy mess in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay. So you got it in your bag. All right.
It's in the bag. It's right on the handlebar. And when I stand up, I've got the handlebar right against my belly.
Yeah, so basically you've got your gun very close to you, even though it's in your bag, it's very close to you.
Absolutely, it's right there.
Okay.
Oh, also, I didn't point this out. It's not loose in the bag with the trigger exposed. Luke from Triangle Tactical made me one of those minimalist trigger guard things.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but you already went there, so
right.
Talk about it.
I punched a hole in it, tied some paracord to it and tied that to the handlebar, so if I draw it out, it's going to pull the trigger guard off, and now I've got a handgun.
You know, the first time I saw one of those little trigger guard holsters or trigger guard protectors, it's back when I first took a class with Suarez International, mm-hmm. and John Payne showed me one of those. They used to call it, maybe they still call it, the Zach. But anyway, yeah, it's just if people don't know what Sean's talking about, he's talking about basically just a piece of Kydex that covers up. It's molded to the trigger guard of your gun, and it covers up the trigger so that it's not possible for anything to pull that trigger accidentally.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what I want, is just to keep, because you know I keep nothing in the main bag, but there's a little front bit where I keep my inhaler because I do have asthma, and I keep the keys and the little garage door opener. So I have a key and a garage door opener in the front. So those,
yeah.
But how hard is it for something to just interfere with the trigger through that? I don't need that. I don't need a hole through my leg or anything that.
No, you don't.
I don't.
So, and for people who don't know, Sean's also, what he's talking about is that comes off the trigger guard. As soon as you pull your gun out of that bag, that little trigger guard holster will fall right off.
Right, and I can let go of the bike at that point, drop it to the ground, and I don't need to move a whole lot, and honestly, they're not expecting. If somebody's going to come charging after a guy on a bike, he's not expecting a great deal of resistance. I show him a gun. I'm hoping, really honestly, we're not looking to hurt anybody. We're not looking to get into a fight. I'm not going out on a bicycle looking for a fight. I mean, well, who does? And if at that point I can convince him that this is a bad plan and he can go away, hey, that's a win.
Yeah, and I would say your chances are pretty good that you're going to convince him it's a bad idea, he should find somebody else.
Right. Hey, great. And you know what? Cops are much more likely to accept, hey, I didn't have to shoot at him, than there's a body, clean it up.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot less paperwork. So, I mean, that's the way I want it to go, but if it has to go the other way, I'm not going to pull the gun and then not pull the trigger if I have to.
Yeah, so we've covered road rage, and now looking at the show notes here, the next thing coming up is probably even more likely than road rage, isn't it?
Oh, animal attack. Animal attack is my bicycling life.
Yeah.
You would not believe it. I get made fun of on Facebook like, geez, Sean, where do you live? You're always complaining about dogs attacking you. And, you know, the only person who ever comes to my defense on that is somebody who said, well, I guess because he's the only person you know who leaves his house in something other than a car.
Yeah, good point.
Because every time you turn around, I've got some dog chasing me down the road on my bike, or some dogs that are coming out after my dog and I when I walk my dog. Because every morning I walk my dog 3 miles. Well, not every morning, probably about 5 or 6 mornings. So every workday morning, my dog gets 3 miles, and some of the weekends. And probably 3 days a week, I ride about 12 miles. And usually on the weekend, I ride between 25 and 30 miles. Well, I live in a very rural area, and yard dogs apparently come in 2 flavors, chained to a tree and free range. And, I mean, the dog doesn't know any better. He sees something moving. He's like, woohoo, something to chase. And
he's doing what dogs do.
I'm like, oh, please.
Well, you know, this also, Sean, this also applies to people who are runners as well, because I get a lot of emails from people that listen to my show, and they're runners, and they talk about how they conceal a handgun when they're running. And dog, you know, runners get attacked by animals too.
Exactly. Now, it's a little, in my mind, it's easier to deal with while you're on foot, because on foot, you can stop almost immediately and turn and face the dog. And dogs see something to chase and they chase it. But when that thing stops going away from it, then the game is different.
Yeah.
Right? It's a game to them. Now, they might want to bite it, because that's part of the game, but typically if that game ends and it stops being a chasey game and it starts being a, hey, well, this thing's coming back towards me, they're like, oh, wait a minute. So I can't do that on my bike. I'm doing 15 yeah. miles an hour, and I can't just come to a scream and halt, turn around, and go after the dog. So, you know, the other thing I can't do is I can't haul out a gun and shoot at the dog. You can't. You just can't do it. I know it makes me mad. The problem is if I do pull out a gun and I do take a shot at the dog, even if the dog is literally a threat to my life, because if it takes me down at 25 miles an hour, it can honestly kill me. The bullet, you know, if a bullet comes off the pavement, goes through a wall and takes out little Johnny in his crib, I'm going to jail.
Yeah, you're going to jail probably for a long time or permanently.
Exactly. So I don't have that option. It is literally a threat to my life, but I do not have the option of taking a shot at this dog. It is wildly unsafe and just not a good idea. The other thing is pepper spray doesn't work. Pepper spray is not effective on dogs. You might think it is because pepper spray came from dog spray, but it's formulated differently. I had a animal control lady explained this to me because my wife had to pepper spray a dog that was attacking her and our dog, and it didn't work right. And I told the animal control lady, she says, no, it's not the same formulation. It doesn't work on dogs very well. So don't try pepper spray. It's not going to do you any good.
Okay, good to know.
Use your voice. Yell at the dog. A firm, you know, the dad voice or a command voice.
Command voice, yes.
Get back on your property. I can't, obviously, on my microphone holler, get back on your yard. But give them that, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute, where did that come from? I was just playing. Well, I'm not a bad dog. They all know the voice. And it won't necessarily stop them and make them go back in their yard, but it gives them just enough of a pause for you to get by.
Yeah. It's that you're buying a little bit of time so that you can move on.
Right. Another thing that you can do is depending on what you're facing, sometimes you can swerve at the dog. Be careful that you don't actually hit the dog, because if you hit the dog, you're going down. But if you swerve towards the dog will swerve away from you. And they'll be like, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, no, that's not how this game works. And then you swerve a little bit away from him and you're gone. And there's another technique if you're good. It doesn't work so well for me because I can't accelerate quickly, but if you're on an upright bike, it works pretty well if you've got the power to do it. If a dog's coming at a 90 degree to you, you slow down slightly, and the dog will tighten his line up. He'll increase his angle, and then you speed up quickly, and he can't compensate.
Ah, okay.
It's kind of weird. It's hard to explain, but he'll tighten his angle, and you're gone. You'll just accelerate, and he will miss you. So,
okay.
But a command voice is pretty much all you can do. Now, if you're riding the same route all the time, go back to the house and say, hey, look, is there any way we can do something? Can you keep your dog from chasing me?
You mean go to the owner of the dog's house?
Right. Most people, now, you know, I don't know where you guys live. I mean, obviously, you live in Texas. I live in North Carolina. People, for the most part, aren't jerks.
Right.
99% of people are nice. And they don't want their dog biting people.
They don't.
Right. They may just not know that their dog is being a jerk. They weren't paying attention. So just say, hey, anything you can do about this? I've done this twice, and both times they've done what they could. One, they couldn't do a great deal. The other one, the dog's tied up. Never had another problem with this dog.
Yeah, and they probably had no idea that you were carrying a gun, right?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, of course not.
We never have discussed this with them. There's no reason for them to know.
At this point, there's no reason to introduce a firearm into that at all. No.
Probably not, because that would have been a direct threat.
You see, but I'm glad you're bringing this up, Sean, because I want to put something in here. You know, please, folks, don't go to the owner of the dog and say, now, you know, you need to keep track of your dog because I carry a gun. You know, you do that, you're now escalating the whole situation, and you could make the whole problem a whole lot worse.
Right. I mean, why would you do that? That's just, no.
Well, there are people I can see that would do that.
No, take a couple of deep breaths, relax.
Yeah.
Put on that big smile. Now, look, it's, you know, maybe it's my natural charm and amazing good looks that does this. And maybe it's just because this is the South and people aren't big fat jerks here. Maybe they're just nice.
Yeah, maybe they are.
Maybe they just want to be good neighbors.
Good people.
And big fat jerks to me.
It's not your natural charm and good looks, Sean. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just go and say, hey, look, could you do this for me? And they say, oh, I'm sorry. Of course. And that's what they do. So try it. Be nice to people, and it's really most of the time very difficult for them to not be nice to you. If they don't be nice to you, go to animal control. Go to animal control. Let animal control go down there and be the big fat jerks. Because animal control will explain to them politely but firmly, and no shots get fired. Let them be the jerks.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Letting your dog run at large is a crime in basically every jurisdiction there is. So let them handle it.
Okay, good. So we kind of covered the topic there of animal attacks while you're riding. Now, the next subject is interesting. It's ambush on a greenway, right?
Right. Now, do you have greenways where you are?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Now, for those who don't know what a greenway is like a path. Sometimes they're paved and sometimes they're not. The ones we have in this area are frequently, almost all of them, I think, are paved. I used to live up in Pennsylvania, and most of those were old towpaths, and they were just dirt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are old railroads, canals. A lot of canals. Those are really nice ones, actually. The canal, old canal towpaths are dirt, mostly flat. Those are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, and some of them are, like here in Raleigh, just seem to be carved out of the side, you know, a few yards off the regular roads. But a lot of them, and in fact, huge numbers of them, are not right next to traveled roads. They're far enough away from what you might think of as regular, ordinary civilization.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of greenways here, but there are a few.
Well, you know, they're for walking, and they're for bike riding. And for a lack of a better way to put it, the hippy-dippy thing is that they're not on the roads. They're good for bikers. They're good for people who want to push their strollers and do walking and get their fitness on and get back to nature and all that, and it's good for congestion so that people can, and they spend a lot of tax money on it, a lot of, you know, gas tax money on it, and I guess they like to pretend it's doing some good and getting cars off the road.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that, but
I don't think it does that. Well, there's two reasons I like to avoid the greenways. And number one is they attract people who walk slowly, especially while they're pushing their baby carriages, walking around with their dogs and 15-foot flexi leashes and jabbering away on the cell phone.
Oh, yeah, really. Oh, jabbering away on their cell phone. Who'd have thunk that?
Right, so I come blasting around a corner, coming down a hill, Fido runs under my wheels, the leash wraps around the baby carriage, catapults little Johnny into the Noose River, Fido gets squished, I go face first into a tree, a passerby catches the whole thing on a viral video, and I wake up in the hospital, the worst public enemy since John Dillinger.
That was great. That was great.
I don't need that action.
No.
If you've ever ridden on a greenway, you've had that exact close encounter. Or, you know, it's a mommy and kids on a rollerblade, or, you know, some other similar stuff. I mean, like, it's just like, are you kidding me? In every time there's, you know, in every encounter there's, you know, when you've got two different vehicles, one of them is by definition, like, going to be the jerk, right? If you've got a guy on a bike and you've got a lady pushing the stroller, the guy on the bike is, like, by definition, the jerk.
Even of course.
She's paying attention and she, like, pushes the stroller directly in his path.
It's the guy on the bike's fault.
Right. So I like to be out on the road where, by definition, the guy in the car is the jerk. I can control, well, you know, I don't necessarily control my own destiny out there, but at least I'm going to get the benefit of the doubt, right? I'm obviously the one at most risk, so then he's going to take the most care. Now, I'm going to take a lot of care not to get run over, but at least I won't end up public enemy number one when little Johnny ends up in the Noose River.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be out on the greenway for that reason. It just, I ride too fast to be in that situation. The other reason I don't like to be on the greenways is when I was in the Army, they told us all about ambush zones. And ambush zones were like pathways, right? If they knew where you were going to walk, well, they would just set up on that path. And when you came around a corner, they'd blast you.
And let me say something about that, Sean. See, right now you're getting into a topic here as to why you should carry a gun if you're riding a bicycle or if you're jogging as well. You know, a lot of people don't carry a gun when they're on a bike or when they're jogging. And you go by some of these greenways and they're not all that safe, are they?
No, they're not. In fact, if you want to have all kinds of fun, in a negative sense, I guess, or scare yourself to death, just do a Google search on American Tobacco Trail attack, and you'll get a whole list of attacks on the American Tobacco Trail in Durham. And it's like there's about a mile stretch of the American Tobacco Trail where it goes through Durham. There's, I guess it's sort of centered on Martin Luther King Boulevard in Durham where the American Tobacco Trail goes through Durham. The rest of the trail is fine, but just mm-hmm. the area – in that part of Durham, deadly. We joke about it. Now, Luke's former co-host, a guy named Ben, and he's about to get married, his fiance, we have joked that we need to put the two of them, you know, Ben is a USPSA master about to be grandmaster, and his girlfriend is no slouch. We've said that we need to put the two of them out there with their handguns and maybe like one of those three-gun carts dressed up to look like a baby carriage.
Yeah.
Put them out there as like bait because it's just deadly out there.
You know, it's kind of funny. Sometimes you can't tell the difference between those three-gun carts and a baby carriage. I mean, it's like they're nearly identical except one will have guns in it and – those carts are cool. You know, sometimes it's not when you're carrying around all those firearms, they're nice.
Right. Well, these pathways, it's just a pathway that channels the prey right past the predators, and predators aren't stupid. No. They'll look for a spot where they can see what they need to see, where the prey can't see them, and they just wait. And there's no police. The police are out where all the people are. Now, nobody robs you in the middle of a crowded mall because there's 50 people to watch. There's cameras. And if somebody tries to rob you, 50 people are going to have, you know, the description of the people who did it. And they might even tackle you if they see you doing it.
Maybe. I did an episode about that a couple months ago called Rush the Nut. Sometimes they will and sometimes they won't.
Right. But, you know, if you're the robber, do you take that risk?
They don't want to if they can make it easier,
right.
Of course.
And they also are not going to go deep in the backwoods of Colorado, 100 miles from the nearest 7-Eleven, and try to rob somebody.
Correct.
Because it's hard to get there, and there's nobody to rob once you do.
That's right.
So what they're looking for is what's called a transitional area, a place that's close to where the people are, but far enough away from where the people are that there's not enough people to be a problem, right? So where people transition from where there's a lot of people to where there's no people. So like in parking lots or in, say, a pathway from point A to point B where there's no cops, like a greenway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right. Yeah, those are dangerous zones.
So at the right times of day, they're deserted, so you can ambush somebody, but there are still enough people going by at a frequent enough interval that you have a choice, right? You see somebody going by looking like a dirtbag, you're like, I'm not robbing that. But then you see some, you know, sweet young thing in her nice little jogging clothes, and she looks like she's carrying something, you might get hurt. And you see this, you know, idiot on his bike that looks like it's very expensive, and you might be able to pawn that. Well, you know, I'm going to throw something in front of his bike and make him stop, and I'm going to knock him down. I'm going to take it. So, like I said, you know, I don't like to be in that area. But if you like to go out on the greenways, what can you do, right? Ride as a group. You know, what do herd animals do to prevent predators from getting them? They ride as a group,
yeah. Now, and riding as a group is great because, you know, it's hard for an attacker to focus on more than one thing at a time.
Right, and frequently they will just let you go. They'll wait for the easy target.
Yeah, but so what if you are alone?
Well, first thing, pay attention to obvious ambush areas. That's, you know, around a blind corner, coming over a hill. So basically any place where the visibility would be limited going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Especially where those places of limited visibility are close to an access point. So you should know your greenway. If you know that access point is coming up and you know that you're coming around a corner and you're going to be close to an access point and you can't see anything, slow down. Don't come charging into it knowing that, well, somebody just can throw a log over the trail there and you hit the log at 15, 20 miles an hour. Well,
and you're toast.
Taking yourself right out of the game.
That's right.
Right? Off the bike you come, they don't even have to fight you. They just take what they want. So slow down, approach carefully, identify any possible attackers, make sure they know that you see them. If you see them, call the authorities. Don't engage them, because you're not the army. That's not your job. And if you know Tam, she says, leave that chore to the guys on the other end of the phone, the ones dripping with qualified immunity.
That's good. Yeah, dripping with qualified immunity.
Because, you know, you never end up in court having to explain why you shot somebody when it was the cop that shot him.
Yeah, well, and this kind of goes to the point where, you know, our guns are always the last resort. They're always the absolute last thing so that you don't die. But if at all possible, if you can get the police involved, that's what you need to do, if that's possible. Of course, now we all know the cops are minutes away when seconds count. But, you know, do the best you can anyway.
Right, but if you can create those minutes,
correct.
Create them.
Exactly. You know, and Sean, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. Sometimes carrying a gun and knowing how to fight back is creating the minutes. And time can be, in a fight, time can be our enemy or time can be our asset. It's your enemy if you're too slow and you don't know what to do. But it's your asset if you are quick, you know how to defuse the threat, and you know how to conduct yourself.
Exactly. If you can back up 10, you know, 10, 20, 30 feet, drop down behind that log there, and create the 10, 15, 20 minutes it takes for the cops to get there, knowing that they can't come around that corner and get you in the time it takes for the police to come and get them, you're fine. Just sit there and wait.
Yeah, and sometimes if you can create the time, it makes your attacker give up.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They're going to sit there and they're going to siege warfare you? Come on.
Yeah, no, they're not after that. They're after something easy.
No, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to get eat up by mosquitoes waiting for the cops. Well, you know what? You can take that.
Yeah.
No, don't. You're not under the gun here. You're not under a time crunch. Let you wait for the cavalry to show up.
Mm-hmm. If you can. Otherwise, use your firearm to save your life if the cavalry is taking too long.
Right, but
cavalry. Excuse me.
Yeah, there's no reason to charge into battle. But if the battle comes to you and you have to fight, fight. Sure, yeah. Right. But like I said, you are never going to end up in court explaining why somebody is dead because you shot them if you weren't the one that shot them, because the cops were the one that shot them.
Very
so
good.
Let the cops do the shooting if you can.
Very good point, if you can, yeah.
So, like I was saying, everything's a trade-off. And when you get onto a bike, there's even more trade-offs to be had. It's really, really, really difficult to carry on your body. I've never found any kind of on-body carry that works for me.
On a bicycle, you're talking about.
Yeah, on a bicycle. I'm not seeing any way that I can carry. I've seen ways that other people can do it on an upright bike, but on my recumbent, it just doesn't work. And the kind of distances and times that I'm on the bike, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So off body, in the bag, really all I can do.
But now, do you practice scenarios if you're carrying off body, in the bag, on the bike? Do you practice at times defensive scenarios?
Just the mental stuff. Mostly what I'm doing is just being nice to people, just
yeah.
Avoiding the situations in the first place, the sort of things that you do every day. I kind of make fun of myself, call myself the Vanna White of bicycling. I wave at everybody.
Yeah, well, and that can be a method of diffusing a potential conflict, right?
Well, there's that, and there's also I think every state trooper in this area knows me because I'm the guy on the funny bike that waves at them. And I wonder if in future that will bear fruit because, oh yeah, that I know you.
Yeah.
The friendly guy that waves. If I ever have to shoot somebody, they're going to know me because I'm the guy on the funny bike that waves at them every time I go by.
Maybe. Good point.
I've seen a lot of flack, and something I've complained about on my podcast previously, it was one of the rants that I had early in the podcast, was I always hear about bicyclists complain about people in cars, and I always hear about people in cars complain about bicyclists. Oh, the guys on the bikes, they're always taking up the road. Oh, the guys in the cars, they're always being jerks to us. And I'm riding around, and I get treated fantastically by people in cars. And these guys, they give me room. They never crowd me. They always are polite to me. And, you know, I don't go riding out in the middle of the road. I don't see bicyclists being jerks to me when I'm in a car. Now, I do see people get out and run double pace lines with 15 or 20 bikes doing their, you know, race training looking stuff in the middle of rush hour occasionally, but not out where I live. I see that out in Orange County, which is the Chapel Hill area, which is far, far, far west of here. And I do occasionally see that down in Clayton area, which is not too far from here, but not that often. And that takes up a lot of room, and I think that's kind of a jerk maneuver in the middle of rush hour.
So why do you think it is that you get treated so well?
Well, because I'm riding by myself. I'm not taking up the space.
Okay.
And I'm careful to smile and wave, and when somebody visits you, you wave back at them. It's a South.
Right.
Right?
And right.
Like, I remember when I first moved here from Los Angeles, you felt guilty if you drove down the street and somebody nodded at you, you didn't nod back at them. Like, he just had this thing about them that if you didn't, I mean, like, you didn't acknowledge them, you were some kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
You kind of had to fit in. Well, maybe that's the problem, is people are treating a car as if it's a box without a person in it. You know, I don't, not really sure on the psychology of it, the philosophy of it, but maybe that's it. Maybe just start treating people like people and be nice to them, and they'll try to be nice to you, even if just by reflex.
Well, and you're talking about some great, you know, de-escalation stuff here, Sean. And, you know, a lot of this applies just to general life, but also those of us who carry guns and carry every day, and we're, you know, very much believers in it, and we carry it. You have to change your method of behavior and operation, don't you?
Well, yeah, I guess you do. What's the thing from, what is it, the show Justified? You know, if you meet an a-hole in the morning, you had a bad day. If you meet an a-hole all day long, every person you meet's an a-hole, then you're the a-hole?
Probably. That's probably right. Yeah, exactly. If you're meeting them all day long, maybe you need to look in the mirror and change some things.
It's the common denominator. So, yeah, I think that since I ride by myself, I'm not part of a group, and what I'm doing is I'm being polite and I'm waving at people, and they give me something. They give me space, and I give them something back. A thank you. Oh, that was nice of you. Thank you. And they get that little warm fuzzy, oh, I was a nice person, and oh, that person acknowledged the thing that I gave them. And so they get to carry that with them. And they go on, and then they do it to the next person because they got their little warm fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, great. Cool. It costs me nothing. And the world's a little better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's me. Good points.
Cost them nothing. Everybody was nice. And it is, you know, maybe it's a Southern thing. Maybe I'm just lucky I live in a place where that's just the way things are.
Well, to an extent, it's a Southern thing, but I think what we've talked about here in this interview, people can apply, like I said, whether you're riding a bike or not, if you're carrying a gun, you can apply a lot of this. This is good stuff. Sean, we're almost out of time, so I'll go ahead and give you the last word.
Hey, what can I say? Try to be nice to everybody, and if that doesn't work, well, you've got your gun, I guess.
Good philosophy. Try to be nice, and if that doesn't work, then go to your weapon if you have to. Good stuff, Sean. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on my show. It was quite educational. I learned something here. You know, I've been thinking I need to start riding or jogging or doing something more. So now I've got kind of some good techniques to go by here when I'm going to carry my gun.
Don't go jogging. Definitely.
Why?
Jogging. It beats you up. Do this. Take a spin class.
What?
Take a spin class. This is your entry into your cycling. It costs you very little money.
I know.
And it is so much fun.
I heard that they are fun.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. Take 3 weeks. The behind pain will go away. 3 weeks. You'll be hooked. It is so much
really? Fun. And it gets rid of the backside pain, huh?
3 weeks. It'll take 3 weeks for the pain to go away. Loud music, group fun, just excitement. You can't let the other people down because they're watching you. They're excited. You're excited. You want to be with them. You'll want to do it. And the cash outlay for the equipment, you can get away with probably $150 total, much less than a bicycle. It doesn't beat you up anywhere near as much as running. Everybody who runs is in agony. People who spin, their butt hurts for 3 weeks, and then they don't care.
And then they don't care. Good stuff. Sean Sorrentino, everybody, from the Gun Blog Variety Cast. Thanks for coming on the Handgun World Podcast, Sean. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. That was good. That was a lot of fun to do that interview. It was very informative. I learned some things. I learned some things so that when I take my son's mountain bike away from him that he doesn't use anymore, brand new one that we bought him a year ago, I think maybe I'll just grab that from him and start riding bikes some more. Now I've got an idea how to carry a gun. I don't think I'm going to be wearing spandex, though. I'm just saying I don't think I'm going to wear spandex. Anyway, check out the Gun Blog Variety Cast. It's on the Self Defense Radio Network. I think you're going to like it. I need to extend a big thank you to all of you. The sales on the Handgun World Amazon store, they're going real well right now. So many of you are choosing to support my show individually, and you don't even have to spend any extra money. Just make your Amazon purchases through the Handgun World Podcast Amazon store. Just go to handgunworld.com, and you'll find the Amazon store and the instructions on how to do it. It'll only take you about 10 seconds before you log on to your Amazon account. Attention all Shooters Club members. Shooters Club members, I put a new video on the Shooters Club. You might have got the posting on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook if you don't already. But I did a video on the benefits of carrying your magazines, your spare magazine, in a horizontal mag carrier. I believe that there's some distinct benefits to carrying a mag horizontally, and I talked a lot about magazines in last week's episode, so check that out. If you're a member of the Shooters Club, an excellent video I did at the range on carrying mags horizontally, and if you're not a member of the Shooters Club, why not? It's only $8 per month. $8 a month. You can save a little bit for an entire year. You can pay $75 a year. Ben Branham from the Modern Self-Protection Podcast and yours truly, we have put together, I think, a real nice, informative video collection. It does not replace training, but it really gives you a lot of good information about concealed carry and about self-defense. So check that out. The voicemail number, if you want to call into the show, is 210-646-1727. 210-646-1727. I'd love to hear from you. And a lot of listeners email me, and they seem to like the voicemails and the back and forth that the voicemails create, the responses and everything. So keep them coming, please. I would very much appreciate that. Please remember to use the tracking code PAUL if you sign up for a Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network membership. PAUL. Use the tracking code PAUL. If you call them up and you sign up over the phone, tell them PAUL sent you. If you sign up on the internet, there's a space for comments. When you place your membership order, tell them PAUL, or just put in the word tracking code. Just put in the word PAUL. It will benefit the Self-Defense Radio Network, and we will all earn a little bit of extra money for it. And that's the really cool thing. You will be helping to support this great network. For you, the listener, the benefits of the network, you're gonna start seeing some good benefits in another month or two. PAUL and I are putting together some ideas as to how you, the listener, are going to reap some good rewards from listening to all the podcasts on the Self-Defense Radio Network. And that website, selfdefenseradio.net. Selfdefenseradio.net. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And there's two things I'd like you to remember. Three things. There's three things I'd like you to remember. The first thing I'd like you to remember is the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. The other thing I want you to remember is that evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. And the last thing that I'd like you to remember, which should be first, is read your Bible every day. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
liquor.